Gerhardt's back.
The more things change, the more they stay the same.
From NJ1015.com, this is the new Jim Gerhardt Podcast.
Go. And once again, the program that asked the question, where are we going?
Why are we in the handbasket?
Do we have a GPS for that, where we're going? Or are we just using old-fashioned maps?
Well, I think the world needs one.
I think we're going south. That's where we're going.
I think we're going south, going somewhere. Or other. Yeah. This is the 30th day.
Of the merry month of January.
The merry month of January. And I want to start here by wishing people well as we approach the opening day of the quarterly celebration of Extortion Day in New Jersey. The Extortion Day Festival will begin tomorrow. That means your quarterly property taxes are due. And the natives will, as we do in celebrations, the natives will turn out in their colorful costumes. And they'll speak in tongues, no doubt. Sing, dance, and wave goodbye as they queue up to leave the state.
Have you ever,
with their pockets turned, inside out.
Do you mail your property taxes, or do you make the pilgrimage to the town hall?
No,
I've been mailing.
I've done a little bit of each. But
going to the town hall, that's a real treat. People are walking in there with their faces all scorned. Nobody holds the door open for everybody. Good morning. Then they make some snide comment to the poor clerk. It's not his or her fault over there. It's like, but, you know, here, you just squeeze this out of, this is my last dime. And
I don't think anybody's done it in New Jersey recently that I know of, but there have been a couple of cases where people would take pennies.
Pennies.
And one famous case, I remember one time, the person had not only filled a wheelbarrow up with pennies, but he filled it up with molasses on top of it, mixed them all up. And it got into court, and I think legally they had to take
it. It's currency, right? It's
currency.
Legal tender.
He took it down there. Interestingly enough, speaking of the people, again, with their pockets turned inside out, Governor Murphy, regarding the people leaving the state over the taxes and the quality of life economically in the state, Governor Murphy has as much as said to them, good riddance. He's quoted as saying, if the tax rate is your issue, we're probably not your state.
So if all you care about is lower property taxes and fiscal responsibility, this ain't the place for you.
Well, it's not if all you. I mean, people are going to care about a few other things, but if that certainly is a high-level problem for you. Yeah. And so, in effect, he says to you people who have worked hard and you have been frugal and you have heeded the biblical admonition, I guess, to live a good life, save your money, and buy a home, take care of your family.
Be responsible.
And now you have to leave because you can't afford the property taxes. Yeah. The governor says, well, go to hell. However, most people seem to choose to go to South Carolina or Georgia or someplace like that.
South, but not as far south as hell.
But I think it's interesting here. As I have read this quote anyway, if this is your issue,
property taxes.
We're probably not the state. So he has separated you from we.
Right.
All right, so which is quite interesting as a what an indicator of attitude here.
Semantics.
And so the state is not the place of the people, but the plaything of those who do not have to worry about property taxes,
right.
I guess. The governor and his ilk apparently consider themselves above such petty concerns. People who struggle to pay the Trenton fiddler. And so officially now as a policy in New Jersey, you can all go to hell. I would suggest Carolinas.
Yeah, or maybe even Bucks County, which is a little bit closer to home.
Yeah, I would suggest even downtown Beirut, Lebanon would be preferable. But, it's up to you, when you have to go. Other things going on, obviously, the president was in.
Oh, that was the whole story this week. Yeah, big news.
You brought me this or printed this out from, what was it, Twitter?
This is the results or numbers of the attendees, statistics from the attendees. And this came from the Trump re-election campaign. The campaign manager tweeted this out just yesterday, Wednesday.
I had a friend of the radio station, a caller, Ed from Delran. And Ed called me before. He and his son were going down. They had tickets, and yet they were going down Monday to start camping out.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently people did, because there were 158,000.
Right.
632 requested tickets.
Right. If you weren't online by early Tuesday morning, people were sleeping over as early as Sunday, Monday. If you weren't online by Monday, you weren't getting in. If you left midday Tuesday to go down there, mm-hmm. it'd be 5-6 hours ahead. You weren't getting in.
But interesting breakdown here now. 158,632 people had requested tickets.
Okay.
Now, it doesn't say how many actually got them. Did they limit it to 7,500?
7,500 was the capacity for the convention center, yeah.
And 26.3% were Democrats.
Of the 158,000 people.
Of the 158,000 people, which is very, very interesting. I don't know what this means, whether they're trying to get tickets to go in and boo, or they actually were registered as Democrats, right, with their supporters of the president, which would be nice to see people mm-hmm. supporting the president.
And
it would be easier to support the president if he were struck mute and he didn't talk, or else, had a bad toothache or something. I don't wish him any ill, but, sometimes when you know he's going to speak, you wince. But what he does is, I don't think we've ever had a dichotomy like that in our history. A president who does very positive things and some very good things, and the country is generally in good shape, and yet he will come on after he does something that's very good and notable and stand there and put his foot in his mouth.
I guess that's his charm, right?
I guess that's part of the charm. So,
and you were saying, here's another great stat from those 158,000 people. 10% of those 158,000 who requested tickets, 10% did not vote in the last presidential election.
So we're assuming they will in this one.
Hmm.
Okay, well, it was an interesting phenomenon, though, and I think probably people have sort of talked out about that. Thank God there was no problem.
Right. Well, the mayor down there is all upset because he's stuck with the cleanup. But how much you think about what a shot in the arm to the economy down there at the shore over the last week or so. Imagine, it's a throwaway week. Oh, nobody's going to the shore. You got businesses open like it's the middle of the summer season, charging full price or even more for some hotel rooms mm-hmm. and restaurants and things. And that was a blessing. That was a drop from the sky for a lot of those merchants down there. So.
Well, speaking of the doings of political people, Dan Alexander, our news
and our director here of the Facebook Live.
Dan, you know the story about the mayor of Mahwah.
Oh, what a great story.
Is there a Ma and Pa Wawa in Mahwah?
Well, as Joe Cutter says, is there a Wawa in Mahwah?
A Wawa. That's what I was saying.
With all of the
Ma and Pa Wawa.
In Mahwah. Is there a Wawa in the Mahwah?
Forget I brought it up. Dan.
There will be a Mahwah somewhere.
There's an old expression that somebody, when they're discovered doing something untoward, it got caught with his pants down. Well, this is literally true, as we understand it.
Yeah, so what happened was that there's a letter going, the mayor was presented with a letter from employees who were unhappy with his behavior at this party, where he admitted to NorthJersey.com that he had too much to drink at this party at the home of an employee, had too much to drink, went into a bedroom, took his pants off, and passed out. And he admitted that it happened. He admitted that he had too much to drink. So apparently they woke him up. They called his wife. His wife came to get him, and he thought that was the end of it. He thought it was a personal matter. According to the letter, which we have not seen a copy of, by the way, trying to get a copy, but we don't have a copy of the letter. He claims that the letter claims that he's been creating an atmosphere within his office that has made it uncomfortable for employees who he was trying to basically keep a lid on what had happened, according to this letter.
But he's keeping a lid on, can he keep his pants on? I mean, is he coming into the office like that?
So,
but as I understand it from the story, he actually was, they recalled the former mayor for what? Unseemly behavior.
Other indiscretions.
Other
right?
indiscretions. So he is the reform mayor.
Yes. He's up for re-election this year. Just throw that
what
in
else?
There.
Well,
I guess we've all been there. We can all relate, right?
No. You have, taking your pants off in somebody else's home? Did it say why he took his pants off?
He was ready to go to bed, right?
From what I've read, we don't know why he decided to take his pants off.
You know, one time, you live in New Jersey long enough, you see everything or hear everything. This is true. There was a toll taker on the Garden State Parkway. The police got a call on the line and said, there's a toll taker, and he's standing there with his privates out. Yeah. You know, and ladies come by to pay the toll. He's standing there with, you know, exposed. And so they collared him. And his reason why he was doing it was that he had some kind of a rash, and a doctor had told him to air it out. So I don't know.
He was making change.
That's as close as I can come to that. You got one here I love. Bob printed this out for me.
All right.
Yeah, you tell the story.
I will tell it. All right. And this is right up your alley, Mr. Gerhardt. The Oscar Mayer Wienermobile.
Yeah.
Has been cited for a traffic violation in the great state of Wisconsin. It was pulled over by police recently for not yielding to the right. It was in the left lane, and it was not going fast enough.
Failure to stay to the right.
Oscar Mayer Wienermobile.
A left lane wiener. Dun, dun, dun. In New Jersey, it's the left lane dick, but in Wisconsin, it's the left lane wiener. Boy, that's great. We have to send a letter of commendation or something to the police in Wisconsin. For you know, reading statistics, I railed about that for years and years and years. The left lane dick, the person who the left lane hog, you can't get around on the road.
Yeah.
Statistically, I've looked this up, a huge, very large number of citations for that are given out in New Jersey, although I don't know if I've ever seen it.
I never see it. And I get behind these people every day on my way home. And I don't mind if I say the majority of them are from Pennsylvania.
Yeah, exactly. I used to, when I was commuting, I was spent a lot of time on the 295, the northern, I guess, part of it here, and getting to central New Jersey, the radio station. So I developed this thing. If I got behind a car or one around me with Pennsylvania license plates on it, I would either pull off the road and wait till he got out of sight. Because there's going to be some problem.
Yes.
I'm going to get somehow irked by that driver.
Well, it's notorious. I drive 202, and I pick up all these drivers coming north out of New Hope over the bridge, and then they camp themselves in the right lane, and if the speed says 55, by golly, they're not going past 55. They're in the left lane. They're staking out their turf. They're backing things up like a half a mile or so until people realize it's a Pensy putts in the left lane, and you got to go around it, and you got to go left and around it. It's like it's a traffic hazard.
Let me ask Dan Alexander here. Dan, if you just had to pick, somebody jumped out of an alley and got you by the lapels and says, quick, what is it to you the most interesting story right now as a news person in New Jersey? What would you say would be your number one?
Oh, my.
Most of the hands here went up, and they said the mayor with the pants down, but I mean...
Yeah.
I hear a laugh from the news directress here.
Actually, I think that the other interesting story that we've been covering is the Stephanie Parr's case, where they found her body in Old Bridge. Her viewing is today, but so the prosecutor has said that her ex-boyfriend, John Osbilgen, I'm paraphrasing here, is solely responsible for her death. And he based his statement upon a suicide note that he said that he left because he hung himself in his parents' house shortly after being released after they found child pornography on his cell phone. He was released by a judge on a Tuesday. On Friday morning, later that week, just before Thanksgiving, he had hung himself. So the prosecutor said he left a suicide note, and he confessed to killed Stephanie Parrs. The parents yesterday came out with a statement that that's not true.
Yeah, I read the parents' statement. Yeah.
So I think it's interesting because now it breaks down to what he said, she said, and basically I think we'll know. I think if we see the suicide note, that will kind of be the end of that discussion, but I'm not sure that's going to happen.
The parents indicated their view was that he had been harassed by authorities into the suicide. And they said, as I saw it, they said that he, whatever he said in the note was true, except they said that there was no pornography. They
he was he had
discounted that.
I had talked to his lawyer at the time that at that charge, and he had, the lawyer said that he was very strongly denied having the pornography on the phone.
Well, did he say how it got on there? That's rather
well. That was what the lawyer said. That was
thing in itself.
That was a head scratcher too. Was that he couldn't explain how it got there, but he said it, he didn't put it there.
Yeah,
it was what the lawyer told me.
Yeah, horny elves. Gotta do it every time. Give them a chance. Oh, you know, I guess. I don't know how big this is. They're having the impeachment trial in Washington. I saw a story that said that the galleries, which are normally jammed when they have an event like this, are very lightly attended.
Really?
Which would indicate that there's not nearly as much interest in this as media is stirring up. I mean, among the people, as the media is stirring up and the politicians are stirring up. Well, that was an interesting...
Yeah.
But this all boils down, this whole furor, this whole hysteria, and I think the Democratic leadership in Congress, they're soiling their underwear over this, in fear that Donald Trump is going to get reelected. Now, why? Other than the fact that if he does, then the party does not have their candidate in the White House. But the big thing, I think, boils down to one poor lady, and that is Justice Ginsburg, who is very seriously ill, and yet it appears that they're almost exhuming this poor lady to keep her on the court so that Trump does not get, if she retires, Trump gets to appoint a replacement. And the feeling is that he, in all probability, would replace it with a conservative.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you have another conservative justice on the Supreme Court, the progressives' game is over for at least for the foreseeable
the
future
cycle.
Until
yes.
these people
right.
retire for many years down the line. So I think the prize here, more than the presidency, is the Supreme Court seat that Mrs. Ginsburg holds. And the last I saw, she's a very seriously ill lady, and she's certainly very bravely and gamely trying to stay there to keep the position
yep.
for the party. But if she happens to not be able to do that, or she is disabled, I guess they could come up with something and put her like on temporary leave. But they've got to keep this going. Hopefully they can unseat Trump or discredit him to the point that he is found guilty of something and taken from office. But I think that's the plum. Almost more than the presidency, which is for 4 years, mm-hmm. would be the Supreme Court majority, which would be for a long number of years.
Yeah.
And another thing I thought was interesting on the national scene, and you have to tell me how to pronounce his name, the Democratic Party candidate who's now polling number three is...
Oh, Mayor Pete Buttigieg.
Yeah. He made a statement that I found rather amazing, and he said that pro-life Democrats, people who are what anti-abortion mm-hmm. or for not killing babies, pro-life Democrats have no place in the Democratic Party.
Ow. Ouch.
That's stark.
It's very strange.
And that's somewhat frightening, and that shows what would happen if some of these people came into power. I think you better start thinking about this.
Yeah.
If this radical wing came into power, then this is the sort of thing you're going to get. And it gets back almost to the statement that we talked about that Steve Sweeney in New Jersey had said, you know, people can yell all they want. We're going to do
what we want to do.
But that, wow. So...
That's a...
See, that's a lot of people. That's a lot of Democrats. So it's scary. It's scary out there, which
chilling.
Is why we asked, where are we going and why the hand mask? Right. I kind of liken it. Hope it's not true. The old Western movie had a stock bit of a train that was out of control. And the train is heading toward a bridge that's out because there's been a flood and the pilings have been washed away. And here are all these passengers on the train and it's heading toward this bridge that's out. And then, but the engineer... he's probably playing video games or something. and at this date, did you had a follow up to that, Dan?
No.
That I was talking about.
No.
Oh, I thought maybe you were looking for the. No. Give me his name again.
Mayor Buttigieg.
Okay.
Bless you.
Not good.
Pete.
Pete. Okay. That's the strongest bit of progressive radicalism I think I've ever heard. You have no place in the Democratic Party. So there also have been some of these groups have actually proposed that the government start setting up gulags for Trump supporters. Oh, who was the one recently? I think it was just yesterday. I just happened to run across this, and I should have written it down. Had said that people should start beating up Trump supporters. I think this congresswoman from Los Angeles, Waters?
Maxine Waters.
I think she pretty much said, but she didn't say beat them up. She said harass Trump supporters.
Yeah, she said that previously. Did she reiterate that? Or
well, I don't know. She had said it. I don't know when she said it, but certainly, you know, you get from her demeanor, that's how she truly believes that should happen. What would happen if Trump is reelected and gets to propose a new justice for the Supreme Court?
Which is going to happen over the next 4 years. You really can't see.
Well, if he's reelected. Right. I can't imagine Mrs. Ginsburg or another person on the Supreme Court not retiring before then.
Right.
But that is critical. And the Democrats would try, unless they put their tail between their legs and slink off in defeat if he gets reelected, because they will have done all this stuff for nothing except alienate the people.
Yeah, Maxine Waters in 2018 had said essentially, if you see a Trump member of Trump's cabinet, to give them a hard to harass them.
Yes,
you may recall there was a time where one of the members of his cabinet was in a restaurant, mm-hmm. and someone walked up to them and started giving them a hard time while they were trying to have dinner. Mm.
Yeah. Well, it's what they used to say in Hill Street Blues when they lined them up in the beginning. Be careful out there.
Yeah.
It's dangerous out there.
Oh, you have some news from the Eyewitness News Department, right?
This is what this.
Yeah.
Okay. I've got to read this. This is by Eric Potts, who is on the radio station.
Works here at the radio station.
Eric is on when?
He's on weekends, and he's also fills in talk show. He's one of the talk show fill-ins, and he's also behind the scenes. He's an Eric of all trades.
Okay, so Eric,
and he's
wrote
a former
this,
police officer,
but
too.
He's also got a good wit, sense of humor here. And he wrote this. I guess this was posted on our website.
On his Facebook, yeah.
All right, on his Facebook. And it says, breaking news, Democrats blame Trump for Hindenburg tragedy. Well, Lawrence L. Pansenfeyer, Democrat from California, claims that a time ripple caused by President Trump's illegal and immoral attack on the benevolent and peaceful country of Iran had traveled through a wormhole and arrived at Lakehurst, New Jersey, just prior to May 1937. Pansenfeyer claims that the time ripple caused by Trump's attack on Soleimani, who Pansenfeyer described as a really cool dude, was a very bad time ripple that was just looking to cause trouble, and the time ripple should have received congressional authority prior to galvanizing through space and time and the continuum. Pansenfeyer and other top Democrats have stated that Trump is also most likely responsible for the bubonic plague epidemic in the 14th century, as well as all subsequent wars, New Coke, and Cop Rock. Not to mention coronavirus.
Right. He's going to get blamed for that.
I'm sure he did that. Yeah. Some Democrat's going to stand up. Schiff, yeah, somebody email Schiff. Give him that idea.
Okay.
He likes stuff like that.
Okay. They can impeach him for that.
Yeah. Okay. Well, listen, thank you.
Yeah.
Thanks,
Eric.
That's cute.
Very
that's
good.
All righty. What else we got going here?
Super Bowl.
No. I wanted to get back to something that's in your domain. Was that traffic accident of these trucks?
Oh, on the turnpike?
At least from what I saw, that was
a
huge
bad
event.
Thing. Yeah.
And I saw the picture of them.
Mm-hmm.
You saw that, Dan?
Dan was working that story. My supervisor over at the traffic service, Jim Battalese, was one of the first on the scene, and he jumped out of his car to help somebody get out of the wreckage.
Uh-huh.
So it was a pretty amazing story there, Jim. I mean, Dan, right?
Yeah,
tell us
he was on his way home from work. And just what you said. And he took some pictures that we have at nj1015.com.
Yeah.
And it was quite. But the amazing thing is they got it cleared up they moved everything over to the shoulder because I saw some helicopter shots. I mean, those trucks were four tractor trailers involved, yeah. And they got them off to the shoulder, and there's no fatalities.
Right.
How far was the traffic backed up for that one?
It was backed up to the crash took place north of 8A. The traffic was back to the New Brunswick area exit.
That's about 10 exit miles. 9. Yeah. Good 10 miles, but fortunately, nobody. No major injuries. That's good.
Yeah, you mentioned what the Super Bowl coming. When is that? That's not
Sunday.
Is it this Sunday or
Sunday.
Is it the next?
This Sunday.
It's this Sunday.
This Sunday. Kansas City.
I can't work up any huge enthusiasm.
San Fran, because they're out of the towners.
There's no team involved in it that I've ever been a fan of.
I think a lot of people
as you
around
move
here.
Around and over your life, you become fans of teams where you've lived.
Yeah.
And so we don't have any local team here. We don't have teams from Washington, from Pittsburgh. Yeah. Places that have been Washington. State.
I think a lot of people around here, though, have a soft spot for Andy Reid, the former Eagles coach, who's now going to the Super Bowl for the first time in his career, and everybody wants him to do well. Andy Reid, by all accounts, great coach, great mentor.
Yeah, I cannot work up any enthusiasm for San Francisco. I don't know why.
Hmm.
But, in my time, I've known people who played ball for them, of course. In fact, I almost got punched out by Y.A. Tittle one time. I wouldn't have, but I won't get into this long story. You know Y.A. Tittle.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, well, we were at a thing. I was working in Seattle, and Seattle was, they were trying to get a professional football team. So you see how far this goes back. They didn't have one. So Hugh McElhaney, who was Hugh the King, the great running back, had a combine in Seattle. He'd retired, but he lived there. And they had a person who was willing, an investor, to put up money to buy a franchise. And so what they did was, because McElhaney had played for San Francisco, they had this big event, dinner, and they had a lot of former players. And I was invited because I was on the air there at the time, and they had media people there. So I was at the table with John Brody, Y.A. Tittle, and other former players. And everybody, well, we had somehow taken a nip or two from the cup that cheers. I would say nobody was feeling a whole lot of pain, except John Brody, the quarterback. He didn't drink. He just smoked cigars, but the rest of us were doing pretty well. But Tittle was sitting across the table from me, and we were talking and reminiscing and talking about his career. And I said, somehow my great memory of you is this great picture of you. In the old Veterans Stadium in Philadelphia, after the game, you're on one knee. Remember that picture?
Mm-hmm.
He's on one knee. It's a classic picture, the quarterback, with his helmet off and his head down, and he's got cut on his head, this look of dejection. And it's absolutely a classic, a fallen gladiator thing. And he got very upset by that. I mean, he didn't actually obviously threaten any violence, but I could tell he was upset by that. But later, when he wrote his book, they had that on the cover. So he apparently changed his mind. So I'll have to take credit for reminding him.
Yeah, maybe you inspired him. Inspired cover him for his book.
Take the picture.
Yeah.
It's amazing. You spend a lifetime in broadcasting or media, the people you run into. Mm. It's a fascinating thing.
You've had quite a career.
I've never met a mayor who went around with his pants down.
See, there's a first, right?
This is a New Jersey first.
Yeah. More on that next week. I'm sure.
More coming up next week on that. Well,
that's it.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. There was something that crossed my mind that has gone right in of it and come back out of it again. I'm not sure we have time. Okay, I'll do this next week. We know that the goal of New Jersey politicians is to gain what amounts to a key to the Treasury to take public funds to buy votes. Or to do things with those public funds that enhance their career. You set up entitlement programs, you give to this group and that for loyalty, so you get continuously reelected to buy votes. So the question is, okay, so you're buying votes, how much does a vote cost? And I figured that I took one election when I knew that I had the figures this was for the Senate, the New Jersey State Senate, and the breakdown on this, how much the winning candidate for the New Jersey State Senate spent per vote.
Hmm.
And it's a lot of money.
Wow.
And so you can see why the politicians do this, why they prefer, and rather than paying for education, to relieve our property taxes with the Treasury money, which the Constitution says they should do, then they prefer to take this money and put it into programs that buy them votes.
Of course.
And so you can understand why, because it's expensive. Yeah. All right, so we'll do that next week, next time. Have yourself a great week. And, if you're involved in the Extortion Festival, and,
just, I'll see you down at Town Hall over the next couple of days.
Program your garment for... Don't go where the governor has pretty much in words suggested that you do. South Carolina is much
nicer this time of year.
Even with some of the stuff that goes on down there, it's certainly preferable to the other place. Hey, thanks. Thank you very much.